Would you take a deep breath with me? Here we are, together in a moment of beginning. This week, this Sunday, is the beginning of our ministry together. Not my ministry, but our ministry. I have been looking forward to this for a while, anticipating this new chapter since the first time I spoke with the search committee. Did you know that they interviewed me while on the phone while sitting together on the labyrinth? That seemed like a good sign to me. Although, you know, you can read things any way. The reason they were on the labyrinth was this, because Skype wasn't working and they couldn't get a signal. So now you know one thing about me, which is that I work and try to see the good whenever I can. What do we say at our house? It's a good day to have a good day. It's been a delight to begin meeting y'all this past week as I'm settling in, unpacking my books and things, and learning my way around the office and around the upstate. And I know you have been working hard this past year, keeping this fellowship on an even keel without ministerial leadership. Well done. And may that collaborative spirit and collective leadership continue on as we embark on our ministry together. As we enter into this relationship together, it will be helpful for us all to remember that we do not know each other yet. It will take time for us to get acquainted, to learn to trust one another, and to learn each other's quirks and foibles and how to work well together. But I have to say, I love new beginnings. For over a decade, I have made a personal practice of periodically creating intention collages or vision boards, collecting images that inspire me or represent my hopes for the future. I often make time to do this at my birthday, at a solstice, at the new year, or another time of new beginnings. So a few years ago, I had planned a break from work, actually 10 whole days, that I intended to use as a time of rest and retreat. It began with a quick weekend trip to the beach, and when Cindy and I returned home, I planned to spend the rest of the time in quiet reflection. But 3 days into my break, we took temporary care of 2 children under the age of 3. And suddenly everything changed. We had spent months getting licensed as foster parents, years considering whether and how we might become parents. So by the time this first placement arrived, we had made lots of preparations and plans, readied our homes and our hearts for this new journey together. But some of you know that parenting is one of those things that no matter how much you prepare for it, changes everything in your life in a split second. And so my quiet week of rest and reflection, my plans to sleep late and go to the movies in the middle of the day, be creative all day long, imploded into a week of sleep deprivation, diapers, and little hands and feet. Everything I thought I knew about anything went entirely out the window. A friend of mine says that parenthood is proof of why sleep deprivation is used as a torture technique. I was constantly second-guessing myself as I tried to learn the language and needs of children who had been displaced from everything they knew. And somehow, despite all that they have experienced in their short lives, every foster child who has been with us over these past few years has walked or crawled or rolled into our home and into our lives and trusted us to care for them anyway. It is a profound gift. And yet, in every moment as a parent, even now, though I'm much more relaxed about it, I question my skills and knowledge, wondering if I'm doing it right, hoping I'm helping and not hurting. Every moment is an opportunity to choose how I will respond. Will I choose self-judgment and fear, or will I choose love? It is always my intention to choose love. But what do they say about good intentions? Although I guess that doesn't work if one doesn't believe in hell, but we'll get deeper into theology as time goes on. It is always my intention to choose love. But I can tell you honestly that in that first week of parenting boot camp, it was hard to choose love. Not outward love, of course. It is impossible not to love the children. I'm talking about choosing inward love. Loving myself in the midst of an extraordinary transition. All that intentionality, quiet time, space out the window, traded for sleepless nights and Cheerios on the floor. All that focus and preparation and reflection traded for a week of being intensely and unavoidably in the present moment. The idea of being intentional is a core piece of my own spiritual discipline, and I work hard to be gentle with myself, to breathe deeply, and to forgive myself and others again and again and again. But as I learned in my first days of being a parent, it's all well and good to take a week to be present and focused and spiritually disciplined, and our lives rarely allow that. Whether you have no children, or your children are grown, or you have young children in the home, life these days is pretty darn chaotic. So what do you do when it all goes out the window in a split second and you have to reframe and refocus your daily life? What do you do when your intentions are stuck in a box under something somewhere, but you can't find them because now everything is covered in toys and Cheerios? I had no idea how unbelievably mobile Cheerios actually are. What do you do when all you can do is stop to hold the baby until she stops crying? What do you do when all you can see is the very next thing in front of you? Where does intention fit in the chaos of everyday life? That, my friends, is the beauty of beginning again in love. We can choose each new moment of chaotic life to start over or redirect. We can set an intention and start over today or tomorrow or the next day. We can make course corrections at any point in our journey. Anne of Green Gables, that iconic child with freckles and red hair and such a dramatic personality, was someone who didn't quite fit in anywhere. She was just a bit too loud or uncouth or clumsy or outspoken for most of the people around her. And yet, she romped into the hearts of many a young child, and surely their parents too. The phrase I most often repeat from these stories, which I read again and again as a child, is tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it. But when I looked up the quote to confirm that I had it correct, I realized I was missing a word. The actual quote is, "Tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it yet." Anne gives us a powerful tool in this phrase. She gives us the assumption that we're going to make mistakes. Not just that we can move on when we do, not just that we will inevitably mess up, but that we always, always, always have a chance to start again. We can pick a new intention any day of the week and twice on Sunday. Any hour if we need to, we can choose to begin again. To begin again in love. And what a powerful difference that makes. Instead of, let's fix everything right now, it's a more incremental approach. It gives us a realistic sense of what it is like to be human, that we will try and fail, try again, stumble, fall, get up, and then try again. And this is the greatest lesson I have learned from parenting. It's easy most days to approach children from a place of love. They need support. They are young enough that their greatest need is for us to love them and give them a safe home for as long as they need it. But me, approaching myself from a place of love is much, much harder. So many expectations around parenthood, about life as a working mom, how I want to be as a mother, and how much I want to give these kids my best when I'm not sure I know what my best looks like. Let me tell you a secret. In this ministry together, we are going to make mistakes. I will. It is inevitable, and so will you. That is inevitable too. And isn't that a gift? Isn't that a gift to know that no relationship is perfect and that we always have the opportunity to make the next best choice? As I've said, it's going to take some time to get to know one another. But let me take an opportunity to share a few things just right up front that might be helpful to know about me. It is always my intention to listen, to reflect, to ask questions, and to collaborate. I approach most questions and problems from a posture of curiosity. There are a few things that I find non-negotiable, like integrity, safety, kindness, and justice. But for the most part, I'm willing to learn new things and see many points of view. Another thing to know about me is that I work hard. I will work hard for you and with you. And I will also take my days off, my vacation, and my study leave. It serves nobody, not me, not you, if I overwork. And believe me, this is something that I have had to learn and change in myself. I love my work. I love Unitarian Universalism, and I love ministry. But I also love my family. I also love my quiet time. And I also know that if I overwork, then there's less space for you to do your parts of this ministry. I am accessible in an emergency. I can always be reached if you need me. But I don't get any work emails on my phone, and I never check my emails on Monday. Another thing is that I learned a lot of useful things in my ministry training. Omniscience, I'm sorry to say, is not one of them. If you want me to know something, you have to tell me. If you're sick and need support, if you're upset about something I said, or if you need something from me, as I say to my children, use your words. If we have hurt each other, we can work through it. If we are confused or unclear, we can work through it. But I cannot know something if you do not speak it aloud to me. I have strong opinions, and I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I am a woman over 40, after all, and I was told for many years that something would change when I turned 40, and I thought, it can't be, that's just a number. And lo and behold, something changed. That said, it is never my intent to be unkind or dismissive. If you are hearing something that I've said as antagonistic or challenging, let me know, and we'll talk about it. And finally, for now, a core value of my ministry is that as a person of faith, I am called to fight injustice and support equity and compassion wherever I can. What this means in practice is that I'm not only thinking about justice and equity when I'm out at a protest or an action somewhere. It means that I do my best to apply those values to all of our work together, my Sunday service planning, my interaction with staff and congregants, to everything I do. As I've said, we'll have lots of opportunities to get to know one another in the weeks and months to come. And what's most important to know is that I am simply delighted to be with you. And I look forward to meeting you all. So as we begin this journey together, I offer you a lovely blessing from Neil Gaiman. Did I say it wrong? That was kind of awesome. Thank you. I'm usually the one that laughs out loud. Nobody else does, so that was cool. Thank you. Okay. He says, I hope that in the time to come, you make mistakes. Because if you are making mistakes, then you are making new things. You are trying new things. You are learning, living, pushing yourself, changing your world. You are doing something you've never done before, and more importantly, you are doing something. So that's my wish for you and all of us, he says, and my wish for myself. Make new mistakes. Make glorious, amazing mistakes. Make mistakes nobody's ever made before. Don't freeze. Don't stop. Don't worry that it isn't good enough or isn't perfect. Whatever it is, art or love or work or family or life, make mistakes. Whatever you are scared of doing, do it. Make your mistakes. As we begin our shared ministry together, let us not be afraid to make mistakes. It is my hope that we will try new things, push ourselves, and find ways to change the world. Today, let's give one another permission to make mistakes, to slip up, to create a mess, and then get right back up and start a new day, fresh with no mistakes. Yet. And when we make those mistakes, when we don't understand one another, when we step on one another's toes, let us stop, regroup, communicate, and begin again in love. Let us make mistakes together and begin again in love together. Begin again in love. Begin again in love. Begin again in love as many times as we need to. May it be so.